Welcome to the LVC podcast series. No two refractive clinics have the same approach or level of expertise when it comes to modern marketing. Through the LVC podcast series, you'll be introduced to industry experts of various marketing disciplines. Join us on this journey as we discuss all things marketing, and specifically how they relate to the world of laser vision correction. The LVC podcast series. Know where you want to take your laser vision clinic and get there.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of our LVC podcast series. I'm Carol Ann Forsade, Practice Development Manager for Carl Zeiss Meditech, and I have been trying for months to schedule time to chat with my talented and extremely busy friend, Denise Ryan of NVU Eye and Laser, but work, unfortunately, keeps us busy, which is a good thing. However, today we're finally able to sit down and have Denise spill the tea on all the things she wishes she knew when launching their ophthalmology practice. And lucky for you, she's willing to share some of her learnings over the past year. So Denise, welcome and thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Awesome. So Denise, can you share with our listeners a little about your background and how you came to be the administrator for NVU Eye and Laser?
Sure. I worked at the Army's Warfighter Refractive Eye Surgery Program and Research Center, where I met Dr. Rivers. Our primary mission there was enhancing service members, and our secondary focus was to investigate newer technologies to serve that primary focus. This included research in technology and therapeutics. As part of our program, we started investigational studies on SMILE in visual outcomes and performance. And after the FDA approval, we were able to get started on this SMILE study shortly in 2017.
So when did Dr. Rivers retire from the military? And then when did NVU actually open the doors?
Dr. Rivers retired in 2020, and he spent the next year or so kind of in the planning phase. And we opened NVU in 2021, fall of 2021.
So all of this happened during a global pandemic with supply chain issues, not being able to make in-person meetings, and just the turmoil of what was happening next. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes the challenges of the pandemic felt insurmountable at the time, but I think the added time we had ended up giving us additional time to think about really what we need to do to differentiate ourselves in a fairly saturated market. We wanted to make sure that patients had a feel for what we were trying to offer more than just coming in for refractive surgery or into a doctor's office.
So when you started designing what your practice was going to look like, you focused on both cataract and refractive surgery and general ophthalmology, but you don't do any primary care or glasses or contact lenses, correct?
That's correct. Our primary focus is for surgical options. We offer the full range of laser refractive surgery options and lens-based surgery.
Okay. So right now, if you were to open a fast food restaurant or some type of car dealership, you would get a bunch of manuals and training on how to get started. How did you and Dr. Rivers, not having that how-to guide, decide what was most important when opening the practice?
Well, we started with basing everything we knew based on our experience. So we wanted to make sure we could give patients the NVU experience, which is to us the most important. We chose technology that we knew could help us deliver great results, and we worked on all the small details that really build on creating that great patient experience. Small touches like the experience video, your interaction with different members of our team, educational experience when you come into the office and learning about your own eyes and your vision care options, and also the online interaction that you have. Just looking at all the details and trying to come up with what we term as the NVU experience.
So your brand is basically your patient experience, because the technology part of it in partnering with Zeiss, you were able to implement the entire corneal refractive workflow and integrate all the technology. So to me, that seems maybe like the easy part. It's delivering on that patient experience that has some of the variables that you're dealing with different people every day. So is that your brand, and do you market this and communicate this to your patients as it being the differentiator in addition to your technology?
Absolutely. You have to differentiate yourself in a market where everybody else is offering, you know, has great surgical outcomes with great technology. And so you want to make sure you offer a good glimpse of your brand and communicating that you're not just, that you're going to offer a great patient experience.
So when patients come in and they ask questions about technology, I know the answers are somewhat important, but I think it's more important in how you communicate that to the patients so that they know that they can trust you. Would you say that would be more about how you kind of marry the two of those?
Well, a lot of our patients say that they haven't ever had this many tests performed on them in an eye exam. And I think being able to, you know, not just perform the tests on them, but also during the consultation when Dr. Rivers meets with them and goes over the applet and shows them the different procedure options they have, whether it's, you know, LASIK, PRK, SMILE, or whether they're going to go into an ICL or, you know, refractive lens exchange or cataract option. It's being able to marry not just the technical aspects of the testing, but also the educational aspects of why we would recommend a procedure over something else or no surgery in some instances. So being able to educate the patient, and a lot of our patients do walk in the door with quite a bit of education before they even get here. They know what technology is out there. They want to know, you know, what makes them a better candidate or what procedure they should go for based on their testing. And so having the technology is good to be able to show that.
And having a patient come in and saying that we have all this technology and then using something simple like a piece of paper to draw an eyeball really doesn't kind of continue on that journey. So using that patient experience applet that's the digital version of that, I think that really kind of rounds out that whole patient experience of that, you know, all those touch points in technology. Would you agree?
I agree. And we try to stay as paperless as we can. And so, you know, patients check in, they're checking in into an iPad in our virtual kiosk. And so I think having just that continuation throughout their entire visit where we're showcasing the technology, showcasing, you know, the educational aspects of technology as well, it really lines things up where it's not just one aspect of the visit that we've focused on. We're trying to create the whole experience to match, and that you're getting the advanced technology in your visit, in your testing, in your surgery, and in your postoperative management.
So now for a listener who may be starting a laser vision correction program within an already established practice, do you think that they're able to create all these touch points as you're describing, even if the rest of the clinic may be more general ophthalmology and insurance base, how would you recommend them separating some of this out or delivering like that experience?
I think as long as you consistently show any the same messaging throughout your whole patient care experience, I think you can create any experience in any setting as long as you remain true and reflective of your patient experience that you want to echo in your vision. So you can separate out and be sure to deliver the same messaging from your patient interaction, whether it's on the phone or reminder system, your reception, providing snacks or refreshments, and then your counseling technicians and your day of surgery team. So as long as you maintain that experience throughout, it doesn't matter if it's within a practice or in a separate practice, you just have to echo the same goals throughout your experience for the patients.
So would you agree that patients who are coming in maybe for an insurance-based glaucoma exam versus a self-pay laser vision correction treatment, that these are two different demographics, they do need two different experiences? If you can't deliver this everywhere, you at least need to capture that high-level touch point patient experience with your refractive patients. Would you agree?
I think you would deliver them, you could deliver them easily for both, but it would be different for your glaucoma patient. You might need someone to help them, you know, work through the their demographic form, if it's like ours is electronic. Whereas with a laser vision correction patient, you're trying to showcase an experience that they're about to go through, their vision care journey, if you will. And so you want to make sure that they can start seeing themselves on this vision journey as they're starting through your clinic. And that, I think, is pretty important to start at, you know, the first touch point you have with the patient.
So these patients are doing a lot of research on the front end. They're learning about laser vision correction, but when they come into your practice for a consultation, what they're really trying to find out more is, do I trust Dr. Rivers and his team to take care of my vision? And, you know, are they going to provide that experience that I'm willing to pay for out of pocket?
Right. And that's how I think the biggest differentiator for us is that when you come in, you're coming in for the in-view experience. You're meeting with the surgeon. The whole team is catering to your vision journey. You're not getting coming in for, you know, a specific generic procedure. You're coming in for your procedure. You're coming in for your specific vision goals to be addressed. If you're considering adding a vision correction program within your clinic, I think it's very doable, because you just need to add the small details that really accentuate a patient experience. And the culmination of those small details, that all the different touch points, whether it's your reception, your technical staff, and then your surgeon, those build your vision journey for the patient. And I think that helps you differentiate yourself within your own practice from your comprehensive ophthalmology patients.
Well, your patients sound like they're very lucky that they're very well taken care of. So keep up the great work with that patient experience. So Denise, let's switch a little bit to marketing. So coming from the military, did you ever think that marketing meant so many different things?
I had no idea. It's crazy how branding, advertising, SEO, social media, billboards, radio, everything falls under marketing. It's pretty overwhelming when you try to prioritize what you want to focus on and what type of focus you need to have on all those different advertising media.
So for somebody just starting in a practice or starting a refractive program, you know, it's hard to, you don't have a marketing department, you don't have a social media department, you have you. You're one person doing all of this. So how did you manage all of this?
We were really fortunate. We've found a couple good partners, and also being able to reach out to industry colleagues who've been generous with their knowledge, time, and resources. They've been able to kind of guide us when there are so many options available and making, you know, helping us make decisions and directions we might want to choose for digital marketing or social media. Our social media is mostly run internally, and we have a good mix of using, you know, systems like Canva or Hootsuite, but we've also had the luxury of partnering with Zeiss on some research where they've introduced us to digital marketing groups like Patient Pipeline, Propellant, where they've been giving us some tips on how to maximize our marketing.
So going back to the theme of our podcast here today, is there some aspect of all of these marketing channels that you wish you had known earlier?
Yes, I wish we'd started our search engine optimization and being on page one of Google when we started construction. You can't start early enough. Initially, we thought, oh, we want to make sure we're open before we start advertising. And as we found out, the earlier you start, the better. That indexing on Google takes time. Usually, if you can put on your timeline a year out to start, that would be ideal.
I've always heard the joke in marketing that having a website without good SEO is like putting a billboard in your basement. It doesn't matter how great your website is if nobody can see it or find it. I think the other joke is, you know, where's the best place to hide a dead body? And it's page two of Google. So definitely want to make whatever you can do so that when patients are searching for LASIK or Zeiss Smile, and putting in either your doctor's name or your local town, you need to be on page one in order to generate some leads. So for the SEO, Denise, is this something that you're doing on your own, or are you outsourcing this as of now?
I would say absolutely. This is the one area you want to outsource and have someone who's professional. It's worth your money to have someone get you on the first page. It's absolutely worth your money.
Great advice. So as you're building your practice, is there any resources that you have outside of these marketing partners that you're working with? Do you follow any message boards or publications or groups that you're part of that people could learn from in order to build their programs?
Sure. I follow some of the threads on the Refractive Surgery Alliance. There's also the Patient Whispers, connecting with colleagues. I also try to attend all the meetings like ASCRIS, the Academy meeting. It's a great opportunity to be a part of the discussion on what's coming down the road, and also hear what other people are doing in their own practices, and then being able to take advantage of that time of picking their brains while you're at the meeting to try to get the details to how to implement it in your own practice.
And those meetings can be exhausting, but they can be really fun as well, too. So definitely a good opportunity to check out there. All right, let's switch one more time here, and let's talk about building an optometric network. How did you decide when you were opening your practice that you wanted to be more collaborative care-based as opposed to direct-to-consumer? So the fact that you don't do primary eye exams, that you're not doing glasses or fitting contact lenses, you needed to get referrals. How did you start building that network during COVID?
So we knew that we wanted to have vision care partners because we're a single surgeon practice. You can't see everybody, and you want to make sure you have somebody that you could refer out to, or that you could help out if they had specific questions. And certainly starting a practice during COVID made building the OD network harder than we thought it would have been otherwise. But we partnered with Turf Health, who made the initial outreach to our local optometrists in the area. And from there, we hosted a few open house events to introduce our practice to local optometrists. And then more recently, we hosted a SMILE and SMILE postoperative management event. So Dr. Rivers hosted a great event where he went over introducing SMILE and SMILE postoperative management. He's usually very good at responding to texts, so that was a great opportunity for him to network with local optometrists to help put more information out there about the Zeiss SMILE procedure. And so we're hoping that as patients start to ask about it, that our local vision care partners will start building up our referrals for specifically the SMILE procedure.
I love that. And so for our listeners, just as a reminder that your practice development manager can help you and support some of your local OD educational events. And also, as if you're a liaison and you're listening to this podcast as well, make your surgeon available. And I think that was a great touch point that, so ODs have Dr. Rivers' cell phone number. He's accessible. He's known to these optometrists so that they can build that same level of trust that we want with our patients. So thank you for sharing that as well. Staffing. Trying to staff a practice right now is a super, super challenging for most businesses. How did you build your staff? Where did they come from, and what type of employees were you looking for?
So we were lucky. We came out of Fort Belvoir with a couple of our staff. So Dr. Rivers had worked with all of the initial employees that we started with. We decided that we were going to have a smaller staff to start out, since we were, opening a smaller practice. And so we were looking for not only technical skills and interpersonal skills, but also those intangibles of being able to be flexible and adjustable in an environment where you're not really sure what you're going to run into when you first open a practice. And then since opening, we've onboarded a few additional team members, and we are looking more to how can we differentiate our new hires? And that's looking specifically at those soft skills of being a calming presence, having a gregarious and infectious attitude, so when patients walk through the door, they feel like they're a part of a fun environment.
We all want to be a part of something. And if your patients can feel like they're part of your family, it makes it so much easier for them to trust you and book their procedures. So that's fantastic there. What was your biggest surprise opening your clinic?
Our biggest surprise was building what we felt was an incredible practice, finding it difficult to get people to know that where you are. And so I think since we didn't really have to market in the military, it's been surprising how much of a challenge it's been to get on people's radar. We're really hoping that, you know, geofencing combined with marketing on different social media changes this. And we want to hear more, smile the eye surgery in the future. You know, in the next year, we're
so do we.